like it because the various reasons we were stating. I'll just recap that the tile that God had Ezekiel paint in Ezekiel 4 was not of a smoldering ruins of the city, but the besiegement. And I think it brings us to the besiegement based on that. I like the 40 years backing up from the beginning of the siege to the great reform work beginning in Josiah's 12th year. And we lay that out. But I want to relate to you because Bible students who study the same subject, after they saw this suggestion by Sir Isaac Newton, made an adjustment and come up with the same 513-year period, but go about it in a little different way, and I think in fairness, because it might appeal more to your mind as well, that we'd like to present that so that you have both lines of reasoning. They both confirm the 513-year period. But where the difference lies is something that we talked about a little bit last week. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. 2 Chronicles 11. And in verse 13. And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office under the Lord, and he ordained him priests for the high places. This is Jeroboam. Remember, he was the rebellious one. He made him priest for the high places and for the demons and for the calves which he had made. Obviously, he started idolatry. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord, God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord, God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. So, what some of our brethren do is they say, we've got 40 years for Saul, 40 for David, 40 for Solomon, plus 3 years for Rehoboam. Even though they had divided, yet this verse is telling us that they seemed to cooperate for 3 years for Rehoboam. It was kind of like a succession that didn't get into full swing for 3 years. So they add it up this way. Then they add 390 for the 10-tribe kingdom. You know, just like we did. And it ends with not the beginning of the siege, but with the final destruction of Jerusalem. So if you add it up, it comes to our same 513 years from your first king to the last year of your last king, Zedekiah. Same results. You got there a different way. As you know, we suggested that the 40-year period ends with the same event, the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem, because of Ezekiel 4 and the tile, and we back up the 40 years, went backwards, from the beginning of the siege, and we got to Josiah's 12th year and the beginning of his reforms, and we said that 40 years was a period of trial or probation, which they failed. And we read about how he started his reforms in his 12th year when he was 20. So we saw how that worked. But there's another way. And this is really cool. You can back up this 390 years ends with Zedekiah's 11th year. 11th and final year. Let's back up 40 from his 11th year, the destruction, not the siege. So it's going to put us back parts of 3 years, right? So if we do this, what we have is 11 years for Zedekiah. We have 11 years for who? Right, Jehoiakim. Kim. Yeah. Call me.
Jehoiachin?
Oh, Jehoiachin didn't get
it. You don't do him, yeah, he's only 3 months.
Exactly.
Cross him off.
And who was before Jehoiakim?
Josiah.
Josiah. How long did Josiah reign?
That was what?
40. Yes. Josiah reigns 31 years. So if we back up 40, we've got 11 and 11 equals 22 from the destruction of Zedekiah's last year. If we back it up, what year of Josiah's reign does that get us to? 18th year? You sure?
No.
Okay. 40 minus 22 gives us
18.
So if we take 31 minus 18, what do we end up with?
13.
Josiah's 13th year. This would be a 40-year period, right? Turn to Jeremiah 1. Turn to Jeremiah 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Am, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. That's where we are. That's cool. Jeremiah started his prophesying in the 13th year of Josiah, exactly 40 years before the city was destroyed. So you could say, well, let's start our 40-year period of trial from when the Lord had Jeremiah prophesying to those who were in Jerusalem. And they didn't hearken to him, right? The kings ignored Jeremiah, and so the punishment sat until the destruction. So, everyone following me on that so far?
What verse is that in Jeremiah 31?
It was Jeremiah chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 1.
Verse 2.
And we read down to verse 2. 1 and 2.
Verse 2.
So I think that worked real nice too. Even though, because of the way the tile was painted, I still favor the other way. Yet, you know, outside of that, I have no problem with this working. Ruth? Okay. So any questions on this? So if you hear brethren presented it this way, in fact, I have to tell you, I've never heard one really outline it quite like this, but this is what they come up with. And we were just looking for a way to dovetail the 40 years ending with the same event as the 390. And instead of the beginning of the siege, you take it to the actual destruction and final year of Zedekiah and back up 40. It works. And if you back up 390 from that same event, it works based on what we read in Second Chronicles 11 a few moments ago. So, you know, for what it's worth. Okay. So then, looking at our page number one, looking at our lettering A, B, C, D, and E, we see that in A, we covered this, these events, and but then what I'd like you to do is put next to yourself, look at our page three, the dates of these details. And if you look at that, you see that we've covered the first chapter, first chapter, second verse. Then the next period that appears in the book of Ezekiel is the eighth chapter, verse 1. And on page 1, you'll see that below A, I have across there that this, right underneath A, when we're done with A, we see that we have Ezekiel's sixth year of captivity, which is 611, and that's Ezekiel 8:1, which you can look across and see a bullet point under the year 611, which was Zedekiah's sixth year. So let's turn to Ezekiel 8 and read that. Ezekiel 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. And he goes on, and he's taken in vision. So, just a simple point, that it just tells us it came to pass in the sixth year. And you remember, back in chapter 1, in verse 2, it was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. So we think, even though it doesn't tell us in 8:1, it's the sixth year of what? We're just thinking that it's just following suit, that this is the sixth year of Jehoiachin's captivity. So he's following a timeline that he established in the beginning of the book. So you and I, when we read this, we can, with pretty much confidence, say this sixth year was a year later, basically. So that would be 611 BC. Then we look at our dates in Ezekiel page, and we see after 8:1, our next date appears in the 20th chapter, verse 1. So let's turn there. Ezekiel 20, verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, so you see, now we're in the seventh year, doesn't say of what, but we think it's following that same established chronology of the seventh year of his and Jehoiachin's captivity, which would be identical to the seventh year of King Zedekiah's reign. Still a couple years before the besiegement of Jerusalem began. And he gets another vision. And he goes on and relates it. So then we look on our dates in Ezekiel's sheet. We see the next date that appears is going to be the 24th chapter. So let's take a look at that. 24, verse 1. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month of the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of this same day. The king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day, and utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, set on a pot, set on it, and also pour water into it, and it goes on, and I'm not going to get into that. But we're going to pick up that the Lord is obviously trying to get their attention and thus our attention, talking, this is the date of the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem. And Ezekiel's not there, remember? He's off in the land of Babylon. But yet the Lord, in through visions, is giving him the prophecy. So, let's take a look. You know, keep a hand here, or whatever, in Ezekiel 24, but let's take a look at 2 Kings 25. And starting in verse 1. Here we go. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his hosts, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it, round about, and the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So we know that this is the final siege that's being talked about. But in Kings, it tells us it's the ninth year of his reign. Whose reign? Zedekiah. Yep. So that is the ninth year that Jehoiachin has been in captivity, correct? Because he only reigned 3 months, and then he was replaced by Zedekiah. So that first year of Zedekiah is the same year Jehoiachin was taken captive, which was the same time that Ezekiel was taken captive. So in his ninth year, the tenth month, tenth day of the month, the siege began, as recorded in 2 Kings, and yet, to Ezekiel, he got a vision, as the Word of God says, the self same day that this was taking place. So you know what it's like? Your imagination goes up. Ezekiel was like he was watching real-time TV. He got the reporting from God of what was going place down in Jerusalem. Way far away, he got the news from God to tell the elders of Israel, which would then tell the rest of the people in the captivity. So it was like CNN on the spot. We turn on the TV, we see it, we go, wow, Ezekiel was getting it from God. And it did. The self same day. So you would think that as time went on and the Israelites in captivity were learning, that God was giving them this information, even though they were in captivity. It was almost like you got to really believe in this Ezekiel. Because this is a prophet that is getting real-time information from God about what's going on in our holy city. Okay, so that's really neat. And you know, if you're reading in Ezekiel like I did for so many years, and you just read that verse, and this is how I would read it, as I was trying to read through the Bible again in the ninth year, and the tenth month, and you're just reading it over, right? But then when you make this connection and you see, wow, and you stop and you think, wow, it was recorded in Kings, this is how it went down, and Ezekiel's prophesying, he's telling him over, and then you go, ah, that's really cool. So, that's what makes it worthwhile looking at these kind of dates and dating systems. Okay. Take a look at Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah 52, starting in verse 1. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Mishael, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. Neither that was evil, and the idol according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, whose reign? Zedekiah. In the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and so on and so forth. So Jeremiah confirms what was written in Kings, which was given to Ezekiel by vision. Yeah. So as we had said earlier, when we think about the Lord having Jeremiah on the scene in Jerusalem as a prophet, Ezekiel as a prophet at the same time to those who were in the northern part of the Babylonian exile, and Daniel at the same time a prophet in the heart of Babylon, in the capital, yet the Lord was giving this information to all of the Israelites, whether they be of the 10 or 2 tribes, wherever they be scattered. So we get this triple confirmation, King, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, of this dramatic event. So, okay. Now, we look on our chart, dates of Ezekiel, our page 3, and we look down and we see the next date that appears is chapter 26, verse 1. Let's turn there. Ezekiel 26, 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because it tired, had said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, for that was the gates of the people, she is turned unto me. In other words, this is the city of Tyre on the coast of Lebanon, who was glad and rejoicing that Israel, Jerusalem, was being broken up by the Babylonians. Because she's doing this, verse 3, Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes its waves to come up, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre, and so on and so forth. So this is a judgment message against Tyre, and it happens to be given during this 11th year in the first day of the month. Now, it doesn't tell us what month it is. We don't really know. And so the point is that the 11th year would be Zedekiah's 11th or final year. It would be the 11th year, Jehoiachin and Ezekiel's captivity. And what happened in the 11th year, but Jerusalem was defeated and was laid waste by the Babylonians. So what we're getting is a confirmation here in Ezekiel 26:1 that indeed Jerusalem was destroyed in the 11th year, which is our 606 BC. So just a little blurb. It is true that it's a pronouncement against Tyre, but backhandedly, it helps corroborate that Jerusalem was destroyed in the 11th year, at the time we should expect. And it helps, again, give us confidence that we're doing the right calculations on Ezekiel's chronology through the book. Now let's take a look. The next day in Ezekiel the next period of time, is the 29th chapter, verse 1. Let's turn there. 29:1. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him. Now, the interesting thing is here that the 10th year would be during the siege of Jerusalem, had been destroyed yet. But the Lord has given a prophecy against who? Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Remember at the beginning we were saying how in the final siege, prior to the final siege of Jerusalem, Zedekiah had plotted in his heart to rebel against the king of Babylon. And who did he go to for aid? He went to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Necho. And the Lord, through Jeremiah, had prophesied to Zedekiah, don't you do it. Just be submissive to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. But remember, Zedekiah was proud of heart. He was taken a knife, and as soon as he read part of Jeremiah's prophecy from God, he'd throw it in the fire and burn it. It was during that final siege of Jerusalem that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, came up against Nebuchadnezzar to try to draw him off of Jerusalem, and Nebuchadnezzar did go and beat him. So Egypt was defeated, and they retreated, and the siege continued against Jerusalem. It's interesting that it's during the final siege of Jerusalem, in this 10th year, that the Lord sends, through Ezekiel, this prophecy of God's judgment against Egypt. Kind of like, through Jeremiah, I told my people, Zedekiah, not to go to Egypt to seek help, and he did anyway, and so you Egyptians, because you came down and tried to offset my plan, you're going to get it. And so they did. God punished the Egyptians. And so here's the judgment against them coming in the 10th year. And here again, it's like, the point is, Ezekiel's out there in Babylon, and yet he's telling the Israelites what God's judgments are going to be against these Egyptians. It's like saying, see, the Lord wasn't going to let Zedekiah get out from underneath the servitude to the king of Babylon. So anyway, we just pick this up. Okay, look at our next date. This is going to be chapter 29. Oh, we just did that. This is going to be, same chapter, I'm sorry. 29, verse 17. 29, 17. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyre. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was peeled, yet had he no wages, nor his army for Tyre against the service that he had served against it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. Kind of interesting here. This is a little harder to fully grasp. But remember, this is one of the 3 dates that's out of the normal that Ezekiel's been following. Remember, he's been following mainly his and Jehoiachin's captivity years. But here we get a 27th year of something thrown in there. And we think that it's... we think that what it's doing is it's going back and it's demonstrating that... I want to get the right note here. This would be the 27th year of possibly their captivity. Possibly their captivity. So let's think about that. If their captivity began in Jehoiachin and Ezekiel's captivity began in what year?
606.
That would have been the first year of Zedekiah.
606.
So when we look at our chart, that would be 617, right?
617. Oh.
Zedekiah reigned 11 years, so if we take 11 years and back it up, we come up with 617 BC. Started Zedekiah's reign. Started Jehoiachin's captivity, started Ezekiel's captivity. And if we go out 27 years, based on what we just read, seeing how we're working in AD language, we come up with 590 BC, right?
Which is also Nebuchadnezzar's 27th year.
Okay. That's a good note. Because, there's debate on it. There is debate on it, but that could very well have been the be accurate. It's tough. Sometimes when you figure Nebuchadnezzar's reign, are we adding in the 7 years of his brutishness that the Babylonians wouldn't have calculated in, but we add in because the word God tells us he was a beast for 7 years. That's a little bit, but that's a good possibility. So here, Jerusalem fell in 606 BC. So this is going to be actually what? 590 is going to be how far afterwards? It's going to be
27,
38
years.
It's not 16?
No,
I'm sorry. From when the city fell in 606.
Yeah,
16. We were 590 because we worked backwards, right?
Right. I was looking up here and making a completely different math on that. Doesn't make any sense. You're right.
So this is 16 years after the destruction. And that would seem fitting. And remember we said, I've got a lot of time to talk about this. After Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city of Jerusalem, he left some of the very poorest of people as vine dressers in the area of Jerusalem. Took everyone else captive, and that starts a 70-year desolation. But remember, there were some problems with the leadership of the Jews that remained in Jerusalem. And they started to say, oh, we should go to Egypt. And Jeremiah, through the word of God coming to him, said, don't go to Egypt. You know, it was like the Jews were just like, we got to go to Egypt. We got to get Egyptian help. And it was like the Lord continually showing them, you can't go to Egypt, which is a picture of going to the world. But nonetheless, Jeremiah said, don't, just stay here and be vine dressers. But the Jews, they rebelled against the Babylonians who were there watching over them. And they basically some got killed. And then the remnant of them went down into Egypt because they were afraid to stay there because the Babylonians were going to come back and wipe out a few of them were left. And the word of God told Jeremiah, go with them. And why did he do that? Because he just wanted them to continue to have his voice, his information, to be with them. So the remaining Jews, those vine dressers, with Jeremiah, went down into Egypt. And we read elsewhere, we won't get into it today, I don't think. No, we won't get into it today. We read elsewhere that Nebuchadnezzar went down after a certain period of time, and he captured Egypt. And that's what we think we're reading about here in Ezekiel 29, verse 17 and onward. The Lord God sends Nebuchadnezzar down into Egypt to punish the Egyptians and to punish the Jews that fled there for safety, so that none of the Jews escape the wrath of God for their disobedience. They never were helped by going to Egypt or looking to Egypt. And God punished Egypt, as we had read in an earlier part of Ezekiel. And now, the draw for Nebuchadnezzar is that God is saying, you punish Tyre for me. And remember, we read that in an earlier prophecy. Tyre was going to get punished because they were laughing about Jerusalem's destruction. That was earlier in Ezekiel. God punished Tyre by sending the Babylonians, but they didn't get much treasure out of Tyre. So the Lord said, I'm going to give you the treasures of Egypt. So that was the motive for Nebuchadnezzar to go. But God's intention was for it to punish the Egyptians and to punish the Jews that had gone down there. So we think that that is our point of getting this 27-year period thrown in. About 16 years after Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Jerusalem, he then had destroyed Tyre in the meantime, and then he goes down and destroys Egypt. Is that
it? I'm confused. Isn't Tyre in Syria, north of, it's like in Lebanon?
Tyre is on the Mediterranean coast of Lebanon, just north of Israel.
Well, how does that have anything to do with? Okay, never mind. That's all right. I'll talk to you later.
Just to throw it out there, back in Ezekiel 26, in verse 1, it had come to pass in the 11th year, that's 606 B.C., first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyre hath set against Jerusalem, aha, she's broken, and so on and so forth. That was a confirmation that in the 11th year, 606 B.C., that Jerusalem was destroyed. In verse 3, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against thee. So the Lord is saying he's going to punish Tyre. It's, and they're being punished after Jerusalem had been desolated. So Jerusalem was desolated in 606 B.C. So in the intervening 16 years, we learn, and history demonstrates, that the Babylonians, with their host nations, defeated the city of Tyre. But didn't get enough spoil that the Lord said, I'm going to send them after that down to the Egyptians. And that's what we read about here in the chapter, verse 17.
I still don't understand why it's hopping to the 27th year and then hopping back to the 11th year. I don't understand. Unless that's the same thing as the 11th year, but talking about earlier than that, the 27th year from something else. But I still don't know why it's hopping. I don't understand that.
Just to make it a little more confusing and hidden. But if I was going to give you the chronology of my life, I might be saying, well, this happened when I was 5, this happened when I was 6, this happened when I was 7, and this happened when I was 21, and then this happened when I was 12, this happened when I was 14, this happened when I was 15. And you might say, well, why did you tell me what happened when you were 21 way back then? Why didn't you just go chronologically along? Well, I don't know. I just did. Well, this is what we think the word of the Lord is doing. He's got a reason. I mean, we might not be fully grasping it. But the key is, it works in the context of what he's saying is taking place. See, so, that's what we can offer. But we don't expect this all just to, you know, snap in all of our minds at the same time. We have to pour over this stuff. Perfect.
Yeah, it goes back to Jehoiachin being taken captive, which is how he began. So it's kind of like it's related to the judgment. So however that plays in, it's like, okay, now I want to refresh your memory that this is part of the judgment. So
yeah, and that's one of the things. The book is mainly about the judgment of Jerusalem, Israel. But then it shows the Lord has judgment on the nations that tried to help her against his will or were mocking her when she fell. But in the book of Ezekiel, there's one difference. Babylon is not judged down in the book of Ezekiel. Babylon is judged down in all sorts of other books, Jeremiah and Isaiah and elsewhere. But that's one peculiarity. And we think that has to do with the antitypical lesson, which is just another story. We might get into that at the Joint Convention next month. That's part of that lesson, what that represents. But we're just throwing it out there. It's a seed thought. Purpose?
Just to follow up on that a little bit, kind of thinking out loud, but most of these other dates on the as he's coming from Ezekiel or from, you know, the 12th year and the 13th year and the 15th year, whatever, is really the judgment on Israel. But then when he reflects back to like the 27th year, it's like this is the judgment on Israel as it relates to those that interact with Israel. So this judgment is passed upon you because of your interaction with them. Egypt, you know, trying to befriend or trying to be conqueror over Israel, as well as Tyre, who was quite pleased to see her fall.
Right,
what it was even so.
Right, exactly right.
All second related.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So, Deb?
I don't think Ezekiel talks about the fall of Babylon because, well, in typical sense, because the prince of Tyrus is represented, like in chapter 28, represents papacy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the king of Tyrus, you have the prince and the king being Satan. You know, talks about him. I think he just uses a different term. But, you know,
yeah.
If you're talking about the actual government, I don't know. You know, because Babylon maybe is the Lord's servant throughout all of this.
Yes, in what way?
For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, for the Lord hath eaten Nebuchadnezzar as his army, his strength.
And then he uses Cyrus to punish Babylon after a while. He uses these heathens in this way. Well, Sister Debbie, we think, you know, that's a correct thought. We agree because we think the king of Tyre and the prince of Tyre represent papacy and Satan behind papacy. But we'll say in a bigger picture, because I guess I'll have to say it, Israel and Jerusalem picture Christendom at the end of the Gospel Age. And the idolatries that they were practicing and defiling the temple of God represent the man-made doctrines that Christendom has introduced to defile the spiritual temple of God. And so the Lord brings the Babylonians against them to destroy them. The Babylonians, we think, picture the Lord's great army. And the Lord uses this great army, that we know the Lord's great army, you know, we study that, we know what it represents, to bring down Christendom when... And at the same time, he has his watchmen, some in the systems, coming out like Jeremiah, giving the witness. Those that are outside of the system, like Ezekiel and Daniel, prophesying that the system is going to go down because of their idolatrous practices. But in other books, like Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, the Babylonian, Babylon, pictures Christendom itself and it being destroyed, being brought down. So these are things that, you know, you like to commentate on. Not that we think anyone would just fully accept it as it is, but we'll leave it at that. We've got 10 minutes. And I want to go through the rest of this chart to try to draw this to a conclusion. So we're going to leave Ezekiel 29:17. Our next date or our time period is Jeremiah 30, verse 20, which reads, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the seventh day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto us, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, to put a roller to bind it, to make it strong, to build, to hold the sword. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arms, the strong, and that was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and so on, and so forth." And the whole point here is, again, the Lord prophesying that he has broken the arm of Pharaoh. This is the 11th year, so this is 606 B.C. This is when the city was destroyed. Remember, we have pointed out that the Egyptians had tried to come up to draw Babylon away from Jerusalem in their besiegement, and yet Nebuchadnezzar took part of his army, went and defeated Pharaoh. Well, that was the breaking of his arm. So Pharaoh retreats back into Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar completes the destruction of Jerusalem in 606. Some of the Jews who remained in the land where Jeremiah ended up going into Egypt, and the Lord sends Nebuchadnezzar down into Egypt to take care of punishing those Jews and to punish and crush Egypt. And that is what this is talking about. Prophetically, the Lord said, remember that Pharaoh whose arm I broke? Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to do more than break his arm. I'm breaking his arm. I am going to break both arms so he can't hold a sword at all, and I'm going to scatter the Egyptians throughout all the nations. And so, anyway, it was a further punishment on Egypt, not just a partial punishment. And we just think this is things that once again help bolster our confidence and strength in the testimony of the Word of God, of how you can read in history how these things unfolded just like this. Our next period of time is 31:1, right here. It came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, who art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, and it goes on and on. And it's just basically, again, just a reiteration, except more so, of this final destruction of Egypt that was pending after Jerusalem was to be destroyed. Okay? Then let's take a look at the 32nd chapter, verse 1. And this is this comes a little tricky. 32:1. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And it goes on. Let's read 33:21 as well. 33:21. I said the wrong thing. I'm sorry. I took it to the wrong place. 32:17. It came to pass also in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, and it goes on. So both 32:1, 32:17 are talking about a prophecy, bewailing Egypt. And it says the 12th year in the King James. But there are manuscripts that say the 11th year. I just want you to be aware of that. The Variorum Bible tells us that this could be better read the 11th year and gives a number of manuscripts that suggest that. You can look at Rotherham's translation in the footnotes. It'll bring out 11th year. Some other Bibles, like the American translation, and Moffat's, and some of these others have the 11th year. Right here, it might not be so critical, but I'm just bringing that out, that's a possibility that it's the 11th year, or 606. So, that being said, we're going to ratchet forward. 33:21. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, afore he that was escaped came, and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he goes on. Actually, like what we just said, this 12th year is probably better rendered the 11th, for the same exact reasons, the same exact Bibles have the 11th year as being possible, making it 606. So, let's think about this one just a little bit. What we got here is This is, if it's 606, being the 11th year, we are told that it is the tenth month, fifth day. Tenth month, fifth day. Can we figure out when Jerusalem fell? Day and month.
Second Kings, well, just looking at this, Zedekiah's 11th year, Jerusalem temple burn. Second Kings 25:2-10. I don't know if that.
Let's take a look. It's going to be Second Kings or Second Chronicles at the end. Let's see. The city in 2 Kings 25, what Dan took us to, it tells us that in verse 3, that it was the ninth day of the fourth month the famine prevailed. Verse 7, the city was broken up, the men of war fled, and thus and so. They captured the king, they put out his eyes. And in verse 8, it's in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, the 19th year, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and he burnt the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. So we can certainly bring out from this that it was same year, 606, but the fifth month, what day?
Seventh day.
That it was burned and destroyed. So then, if it's the 11th year, this is the 10th month. And the fifth day of the same year. So how much time would have it last?
Almost 5 months.
It's about 5 months.
4 months and 28 days if it's a 30-day month.
Okay. So about 5 months. Now, if it was the 12th year, as it reads in the King James, it would be 605, as we work backwards again, and the 10th month, 5th day. So what we would have is we have... Pardon?
I'm sorry, I was looking at the top. It's 7 months on the top. Minus 2 days.
The fifth month, so we go to the fifth, to the sixth, to the seventh, to the eighth, to the ninth, to the tenth.
Is that backwards? Because I thought you were going from the tenth month to the fifth month. Okay.
The tenth month is when the survivor came. Okay. The fifth month was when it was destroyed.
Okay. So... Okay, it's just turned around.
I put it up here backwards.
Okay, sorry.
No, I should have it reversed. But if it's the 12th year, not the 11th year, if it's the 12th year like the King James, it's 605, the 10th month, the 5th day, yet the city fell in the 5th month of the 11th year, what do we got? 5 from 12 is going to give us
7
and add 10... 7 and 10 is going to be 17 months.
A year more than the previous. That's all.
So 17 minus 12 months for a year is going to be 1 year.
5 months.
So we have to say to ourselves,
slow messenger.
Yeah, it seems like a slow messenger to take that long to travel from Jerusalem up into, you know, the northern Babylon by the Euphrates where Ezekiel was. Seems kind of long to me. 5 months seems good. Either way, it does work. But I kind of think that the Lord was going to get an eyewitness to get to him to confirm what prophetically he had already been told had happened, that the city was literally destroyed. He had gotten that information earlier, prophetically. Now the Lord sends him an eyewitness. So, okay. We're over time. And let's see, where are we? We've got one last one to go. 40 verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after that the city was smitten, in the self same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was as the frame of a city on the south. So, this, we get two kind of dating taking place. On the one hand, it tells us it's the 25th year of their captivity. So, they were taken captive. Captivity began in Zedekiah's first year, and that was what year?
617.
617 BC. Plus 25 years gets us out to
592.
Pardon?
592
BC. It's supposed to be 14 years after Jerusalem was smitten. So if we go
add that, right?
Add that, it gets us to our 606 BC. So,
I was just kind of said, why would we have
that? Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Because he took
backwards. Right. So the cool thing about chapter 40 is it helps us confirm chapter 1 dating, right? It's like at the beginning of the book, and then here at the last date given in the book. Not the end of the book, but it's the last date given in the book. We've got a confirmation of them working together. But there's another thing. Let's take a look. It tells us that this is the 10th day of the month. That's the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year, I'm going to abbreviate for time's sake, of year, we're going to suggest is the month Nisan. There's reasons we can't go into now, but it has to do with him being a priest following the religious year. It has to do as well with that dating of the great Passover that we found, Josiah's Passover at the beginning of the book, first chapter, which was the beginning of the year, Nisan. It also has to do that this phrase, beginning of the year, is interlinked with when the kings went out to do war, which would have been after the winter of rain and mud. In the spring, the land would start to dry out and they could take their horses and chariots to battle. All these different reasons. But take a look at that. Take a look in 2nd, keep your hand here, take a look at 2nd Chronicles 36. 2nd Chronicles 36, you're all being real patient. I'm looking at a whole lot of numbers. Jehoiachin was, it's not 8, he was 18. That's confirmed in 2 Kings 24:8. When he began to reign, he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't tell us what months he reigned exactly. But remember, we're dovetailing this whole time that Ezekiel's captivity is Jehoiachin's captivity. But here it tells us he reigned 10 days. We get that much out of it. And back in Ezekiel 40, it's telling us that it was the beginning of the year on the 10th day. So it's a suggestion that this self-same day is the self-same day that Ezekiel and Jehoiachin went into captivity. It's just this 25 years later. But the very self-same day. So if the month is Nisan, like we suggested, and the 10th day of Nisan, what does that bring to mind? The 10th day of Nisan. Lamb selected for the Passover. Lamb was selected. Now, if we coordinate this with the first chapter, remember the 5th year of their captivity was the 30th year of something, and we went back to Josiah and the great Passover, right? So, the 5th year of their captivity was the 30th year of captivity of Josiah. So, they had a 5-year overlap in that reasoning. The 5th year, their captivity, 30th year. So, their first year of their captivity was 25 years after that great event of the Passover. So, if you add the 25 years from the great Passover to the first year of their captivity, then add the 25 years of their captivity, we got a 50-year period to the self-same day, the 10th of Nisan, when they would have selected the lamb back in Josiah's day for the great Passover. That was a lot of verbiage. But commentate on it.
Very briefly, he took this to 36:9, in verse 10, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent, but the marginal reading says, and when the year had returned, that would bring you to the first month.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Excellent.
But
then.
And also, just to look at this last point that you made on the 50 years, the first chart, and letter E, will help you to look at that on your own.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay, good. So, any last questions or comments on this? Well, Ruth?
Well, maybe I didn't follow it the way I should have, but I thought that the city was destroyed in August, not in spring.
Yep, we're not following the destruction of the city.
But, then it seems like it's saying in 2 Chronicles 36 that then he made, on the year return, he made Zedekiah the first king, and he reigned for 11 years, and then the city was destroyed.
I think we have to get the we gotta get the timing from 2 Kings. The Chronicles doesn't give it to us so well. 2 Kings, and it's chapter 25. That in verse 2 it says, the city was besieged into the 11th year of King Zedekiah, and on the 9th day of the 4th month the famine prevailed, skipping down, verse 4, the city was broken up. Then in verse 8, and in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, they came and they burnt the house. So the point is that what you need to do, what one needs to do, is you have to take what's their fifth month and look on the calendar and see how that coincides with the ninth of Av, which gets you to like the August period. And the one who's probably done that best is Brother Jerry Leslie to show that distinction and correlation. But we're not taking Ezekiel 41. We're not going to the destruction of the city. Okay. Any other last comments for Chris?
Just one last thought. You didn't really touch on it. I don't know if you have a good comment on it, but 642 is a great Passover of Josiah. 2520 years later brings it to 1878.
And that is
interesting thing, those numbers.
That's one of the evidences to some brethren's mind that we can try to find a parallelism to the gospel age from the dating in Ezekiel. He pictures the Lord's people during the harvest or the end of the gospel age. So from 642 BC, Kevin, from 642 BC to keeping of the great Passover, if we add 2,520 years, that gets us to 1878 AD.
2,520 plus 642?
Yeah. Well, you subtract it from
642
BC.
Minus, right.
And the reason we 2,520 years is that's the time of the Gentiles that we have, which we also use in Ezekiel in the sense of 606 plus 2,520 years gets us to 1914 in the outbreak of World War I. So it here just seems using the same period of time works as a parallel elsewhere in the book of Ezekiel. So I don't think we're going to touch on any of this in the two-part presentation we're going to have next month in October at the joint meeting. I forwarded an email, most of you got it, the one that Brother Bill Zeika had sent out, that the joint meeting is October 18th, and the other speaker is Brother George Tabak from Chicago. And we each get two 45-minute periods. And so there, I'm going to, Lord willing, speak on Ezekiel, the 17th chapter, and some additional lessons in the book of Ezekiel, which I don't think any of this is going to be part of it. So hopefully this, worked in with our chronology study in the second volume on the Kings, but also gave some additional insight that when we do this consideration next month, it will be a little bit of background. My class hasn't voted to even cancel for October 18th, so the front's going to be thinking on that. For Dan?
I move that we cancel for the 18th of October for the joint meeting.
Okay, Mr. Betty seconds. Okay, are there questions on the motion? Father Mark?
Where is this joint thing at, did you just say?
I believe it's the Pleasant Ridge Community Center. I put back the email. I did make a mistake, but I think that's true.
Okay, thank you.
And you bring your own lunch.
And dessert the pass.
And dessert the pass. The old Bible students don't dessert anything else. Keep it straight. Any other questions on it? All those in favor of canceling, please indicate. Ken, any opposed? Many posts, so that'll take place. October 18th. And maybe we're gonna close with the doxology then. And
I know, I mean, where we're going.
tithes for that.
How much?